What does it take to become an American? In 2015, This American Life told the story of a Somali refugee who was finally issued a visa to come and live in the United States.
This big smile was on my face. I've never ever had such a big smile. Never, ever, ever, ever.
Abdi Noor Iftin's long road to the United States began when he was only a child in Mogadishu, watching American movies and teaching himself English while unimaginable brutality and war raged around him. In his new memoir, Call Me American, he tells his story from the beginning, and he joins us now from Portland, Maine, where he now lives. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to take you back to the beginning where this book begins and your family's story, your parents who were nomads. And they describe a sort of Somali life that I've really never heard about, of lush fields and a peaceful pastoral life.
It is. My mother had, her entire world was just her nomadic life, you know, the animals, her family. And she had no idea that the country that she was living in was called Somalia. She had always told me, you know, Abdi, there's only 2 days, the day that you're born and then the day that you die. Everything else in the middle is just grazing and hanging out with the animals. And, you know, how easy life had been to my parents before the disaster had hit and wiped out all their animals.
And that disaster, of course, was the famine and the drought. And your life was marked very early on by war. What was your earliest memory of the conflict?
I was 6 years old when the civil war started, militias started, you know, pouring into the city and death and killings and torture. And I described the smell of Mogadishu. It was just, the smell of gunpowder. And that had been sticking with me forever.
Yeah, I mean, there's just these scenes where people are being dragged out of the back of trucks and shot on the streets and chaos, essentially. Everything that you'd known sort of suddenly wiped away.
I think this is the most, you know, touching memory that I can remember, to have our youngest sister die. And we said, good, that is so easy for her. And then I was jealous. I was jealous because that was the time when our feet were swollen, our bellies were empty. It was a feeling that you could die any time.
You were starving.
We were all starving. And I looked at my other sister, and she was just eating sand. And I think that's the stories that people don't hear about.
Your first contact with America and that American dream was with the U.S. Marines who came to Somalia. There was a lot of opposition to them being there. And Americans, of course, are familiar with the story because of Black Hawk Down, when a helicopter was downed by insurgents and Americans were killed. But that was the first time that you sort of saw a different America.
Yes. I still say they stole my heart, because it was the very first time that I saw people with guns. And the guns were pointed up in the air, not in my face, you know. And they were coming and giving us, you know, sweets. And I wanted these people to stick around. I want these people to be part of my life.
And you become obsessed with America, and you get a nickname, right?
Yes, Abdi the American. Yes, that
because
was
Because you
was
were
my
watching
nickname.
American movies, and you learned English from watching American movies.
Yes.
Then come the Islamists, and you were a target because you were called Abdi the American, and you were whipped on the beach for being with a girl in public. And the fighting groups were trying to recruit young men to be suicide bombers and fighters, and you didn't want anything to do with it, and you became a refugee.
I did. Unfortunately, I still believe that Islamists were born out of the American involvement somewhere in the Middle East. And the phrases that they had used to attract young men of my age to be recruited was just America. They said, they are the enemies of Islam. They are attacking everywhere and all of that. And surprisingly, I was out on the streets defending President Bush. I don't even know why I did that, you know. But I was defending him and blaming Osama bin Laden for all the problems. But I thought, to me, it was just expressing myself. But then it got me into trouble. And I received a phone call saying, you got to stop and drop that nickname or we're going to kill you.
This American Life then tells the story of the whole next part of the saga, how you got that visa. And what struck me from your account in the book is not only how much luck you needed, how much help, how much perseverance. I mean, it literally took a village to get your American dream. Do you think Americans know how hard it is?
I don't think they do. You know, Americans take so many things for granted. For example, I came to the U.S. through the diversity immigrant, you know, visa lottery.
The visa lottery, which President Trump would like to cancel.
Which he would like to cancel. But if it was not the diversity lottery, I would have never come to America. Never. I had been an American, you know, since I saw those Marines. And my nickname is going to be my nationality very soon. It's going to be my passport.
When are you going to become an American?
A year from now.
So what do you think now, if the visa lottery ends, what do you think about that door closing?
Well, first of all, when I wake up in the morning, I say, oh, I'm so lucky. I have arrived here before America had turned its back against the rest of the world. If this had happened when I was hiding myself from the Islamic terrorists, is just trying to get to America and become an American and all that, it would be a disappointment. It would be a betrayal, by the United States, because the way I understand is that America is open to the rest of the world. It's a hope. It's a dream. It's an idea that everyone has out there. And I'm here to make America great. I did not come here to take anything. I came here to contribute and to offer and to give.
Abdi Noor Iftin's memoir is Call Me American. Thank you very much.
Thank you.